Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
I'm your radio!
Hello and welcome to the 909 podcast. It is episode 98 of the 909 podcast. It's myself and Andrea Cleary here.
Hello. I have new audio equipment. Thank you to our lovely patrons. You can now hear me nice and close to your ear, I hope, I'm using things properly. Yeah.
A real live mic. We've got two real live mics this
mic
week.
And I have Audacity. You might have heard of it. And some kind of a box where my voice goes in and then it goes into the computer. So it's very exciting for me now here. And I've had no issues.
No, none at all. Don't worry about that. Ever since lockdown began, we have been recording with myself using a proper microphone. Andre not using her phone, which has actually been fine. But, you know.
Using what I can only describe as like maybe the first Samsung model ever made.
Well, it seems to work.
Not a good one.
It's like you're recording voice memos at the same time. But what we're doing this week actually has two professional mics on either side. So you'll hear a fully professional recording this time. So that'll
to be a professional, but I'm just claiming that I have a professional setup.
Claiming to be professional either. So yeah. what are we going to talk about this week? We are going to be reviewing the debut album from Silverbacks, the Dublin five piece who have an album out called Fad this Friday. We'll be looking at new songs from Reggie Snow, Sufjan, Wyverlingo, Elaine May and more. And what do we start with? I guess we took a week off last week out of necessity, just to have a reset. You know, every now and again, you need to take an L week away. And so, just before we came on air, which is something that we heard about today that it might be happening, is that the pubs in Ireland won't be opening until August 10th, when they were due to open on July 20th. That's next Monday. So they're now not going to open until August 10th. In practical terms, in terms of what we're talking about here and what we've been talking about the last number of months, that means that indoor and outdoor gatherings, while many aren't really happening anyway, and some that were allowed happen from June 29th, the 50 people indoors and 200 people outdoors from that first phase of the restrictions is staying in place until August 10th. As far as we're aware, it was supposed to go to 100 people indoors and 500 people outdoors. Thing about this is, you know, I mean, that doesn't really apply to events, even though people are taking it as that's what it is. So basically, I don't know if much has changed. Like, there are, we did see yesterday that the Kino in Cork announced gigs with the Junior Brother and Mary Wallopers on the first weekend, which is the end of July. So they can no longer take place now, it seems, under these restrictions that have been extended. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of there's a lack of leadership and guidance in terms of what can any of us can do. And I think the best thing is probably proceed with caution now. So I think anyone who's trying to put on a festival or anything these days or a gig, you can pretty much expect that it's not going to happen right now. Or if it is going to happen, you're going to be very lucky to get it actually happening. There's a festival in Limbavaddy in Northern Ireland called Unlocked, which is brought to you by the people in who put on Stendhal, and they sent on their guidelines of what they're planning on doing. But, you know, it's so untenable at the moment. What they're planning on doing is doing two weekends at the end of August, August 21st and 22nd, and August 28th and 29th. And then possibly, depending on the restrictions, whether they're lifted or not, 500 people or 1,000 people. There's just so many variables in all this. You're like, why would you try to do this? It's, to me, that sounds like stressful when your actual basic facts about your festival, the dates and the numbers are changing constantly, and the guidelines around those, despite, you know, publishing extensive things about how, what you're going to do to socially distant the festival and all that stuff and infections.
I suppose, though, I mean, given that there is a lack of guidance from governments, you know, here and the UK and elsewhere, the onus is very much on the festival makers and the festival organisers to set the precedent going forward. So there might be this kind of, not quite a scramble or like in a competition-y kind of way, but there might be motivation there for festival organisers to get all of their guidelines set so that they know exactly what they can do going forward. And it's kind of them informing the government how they're going to adhere to the guidelines, as opposed to waiting for the government to come to them. Because as we know in this country, the government, the arts isn't exactly, especially with our new government, isn't exactly top of the list in terms of priority. So I don't blame them for doing that. But I mean, yeah, it's, I'm surprised that they aren't moving us into phase four on Monday. And now I wish that I was better at understanding the ins and outs of Irish politics, because I know that this week was a very controversial week and there was a lot of stuff going on. And if I was a betting woman, I would have said that they would have moved us into phase four so that this new government could have given us a little bit of good news, or gotten a bit of a pat on the back. But it seems like that's not a priority for them at all. But I think it's probably the right call, given that we've had a pretty significant uptake in cases in the past number of days, obviously 2 weeks after additional restrictions were lifted. So we're obviously better safe than sorry, but it is very sad that
yeah,
any gigs soon. But August 10th is, look, guys, right, March is when this all started. It's now July. We can last until August. We're nearly there.
Yeah, we may have to last even longer than that, to be honest. So we just don't know if that's the case.
Just need to keep going forward. It's fine. We'll be grand.
I just feel for anyone trying to get their business back on track by putting on an event when you actually can't even, the mere foundations you're building your event on keep changing. And no one can actually do it. I think generally the opinion out there is that we shouldn't be doing gigs from the general public. But then again, you're looking at like the likes of spikes from, you know, international travel. And then, you know, there's a lot of talk about that at the moment. Finally, face masks have been adopted as an official policy. So apparently we'll all have to wear them everywhere, which is great news.
I need to get a cool face mask. I saw Dave Hanratty has one, like a Kidsy Ghost one. And I was like, that's cool. I want to get like an Elliot Smith one or something. Or like a Father John Misty one. Like,
I'm sure there's a Father John Misty.
I Love You Honey Bear album.
Oh, there has to be.
Yeah, like the I Love You Honey Bear artwork on a face mask, I think would be amazing. So I'm gonna do a little spree over the weekend.
Yes, I'm gonna send you this picture now.
Does it exist?
Well, there is.
I'm so excited.
Sort of one of him. God's favorite customer is on Red Bull.
Let me see there now. Oh, that's fantastic! Oh, I love it. £13, absolutely. Yeah, that's going. Add to basket.
There you go. Oh, hold on. There's more. For the John Misty fan in your life. That one's a good one. That's the Fear Fun album cover, I think, is it?
Oh, this is the one. This is the one. So for our listeners, it is a white face mask with the album artwork from Fear Fun, and it's beautiful. That's great, because I feel like, you know, they're if we start using them in this way, if we start wearing them like band t-shirts, it's kind of like that little nod of cultural capital to someone else when they're like, hey, I like that album too. And you're wearing a face mask, so you're cool. So, yeah, I like those. I'm going to buy a few of them.
Good. You can do that. So,
do you have a cool face mask?
I have a couple. I'm trying to buy Irish ones only. But the first one I bought didn't fit my face. And then the second one is a really good one. I can't remember the website that I bought it from. Bought a few more this week. I had the medical ones as well. And then
I don't like those ones.
They
irritate my face.
But also I have a beard, so you know, technically everything I wear is like not going to work anyway, so I should actually shave my beard, but I'm not doing that.
Is that the case?
Yeah, partly. Like, I was talking to a nurse friend of mine. She said you actually have to, you can't seal a beard properly, you know, because it's like pockets. Anyway, you learn something.
This would be awful for me with, you know, all the men are getting their hair cut now and shaving their beards. I might as well just go into hiding. This is terrible. I know that there are ones where if you buy one is donated to somebody in direct provision or to people in difficult socioeconomic circumstances. And especially now that they're going to be mandatory, it's important that everybody has access to them. So, yeah, do try to seek out those ones.
I did. They were the ones that I bought that didn't fit my face. But anyway,
oh no.
So if you have a small face, you can wear one. It's fine. Anyway, we're not talking about masks anymore, are we? What are we going to talk about?
Anyway, no. Now we're going to talk about the Irish Times 50 greatest Irish albums of all time, because that list came out this week and we have some thoughts.
Okay, so yeah, this came out July 11th. Ed Power and Lauren Murphy put the list together of the 50 best Irish albums of all time.
In order.
So, where do we start? Can we start?
Let's
start
at
number
at 50.
Okay, well, 50 is a good place to start because, okay, it is very hard to put a list together with just two people when it's supposed to represent the entire recorded history of pop music in Ireland over the last 40-50 years.
I would actually argue that it is harder with two people than it would be for one person or three or more. Two is too difficult a number, you know?
Yeah. It's unusual to have only two people do something like that, I would say. So it's led to, even though it comes with this preamble that basically says, you know, we deliberately didn't put Astral Weeks at the top, so, and then saying things like limiting each act to a maximum of two entries. We decided to, you know, give some of the more recent albums of the last 10 years, you know, equal weight. So it's led to quite an interesting list on the surface. But the first thing you see, and the only Thin Lizzy album on the list, is a live album, Live and Dangerous from 1978. And that's when the first thing I saw, I was like, hold on, a live album? Live albums? You can't put live albums on your best of list. That's like Alan Partridge when he's asked what's his favourite Beatles album, and he says best of the Beatles.
Like, unless you're Frampton, like, your best work isn't probably your live work, you know? It's, yeah.
Well, that's a set list. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what else have we got in there? I'm going to run through some ones. Like, we got some modern ones, like Rusangano Family, Let the Dead, Bury the Dead, Fight Like Apes, Fight Like Apes, and The Mystery of the Golden Medallion, Soak, Fontaine's DC, Doggerel, Damien Rice, I'm just going to go through the list briefly. Adrian Crowley, Long Distance Swimmer, David Holmes, Bound Unto the Exercise, Checkerboard, Villagers, The Art of Pretending to Swim, Ash 1979, Andy Irvine and Paul Brady, Talos is there, Republic of Loose, The Frank and Walters, Just Mustard, from 2018, Wednesday is number 35. The Cranberries debut album, Everybody Else Is Doing It So Why Can't We, Therapies, Trouble Gum, Van Morrison, Moondance, The Frames for the Birds, Enya Watermark, Two Door Cinema Club, Tourist History, interesting choice. Reggie Snow is here as well with Dear Annie. Lancome, The Live Long Day is at number 27. Yeah, Kojak's mini album Deadly Daydreams for 2018 as well. Clannad's album Legend, Plank's self-titled album from 73. James Fitzmaurice's True Care, Divine Comedy, Casanova, who actually later on has another album in this list as well. Gemma Hayes, Night on My Side, The Sultans of Ping FC, Jafaris, Stride from 2019 is at number 19. The Undertones as debut album, The Pogues, Rum, Sodomy and the Lash, Roller Skate, Skinny Horse, Withdrawn Wishes from 96. U2, The Joshua Tree. Only two entries for U2 is on this list. Divine Comedy, Promenade from 94 again. My Bloody Valentine, Isn't Anything from 88. Fatima Mansions, Viva Dead Ponies. Van Morrison, Astro Weeks at number 11. And the top 10 is Cathy Davey, Tales of Silversleeve from 2007. Sinead O'Connor, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got from 1990. My Bloody Valentine, Loveless at number 8. Villagers, Becoming a Jackal, 2010, The Immediate in Terrors and Clouds, the band that Conor O'Brien was in, pre-Villagers. Roisin Murphy, Overpowered, at number 5. Whipping Boy, Heartworm, 95, at number 4. A House, I Am the Greatest from 91. U2's Act On Baby, also from 91, at number 2. And number 1 is the one that doesn't quite make sense to me at all, is girl band The Talkies, which is their album that came out last year. Not even the best girl band album in our opinion, I would say, you know, offering opinions.
I think if you're gonna allow a girl band album to top a list with the words of all time in it, like it has to be their debut, right? It's like, yeah, that what that did. We love girl band. I love that album that's on the list, but like, it didn't have the, I suppose, the cultural impact or reach,
yeah, not
that,
at all,
that debut had. That debut changed Irish music.
It has been credited with the likes of The Rise of the Fontaines, one of the albums that we'll be talking about later on from Silverbacks. You know, I mean, there's definitely a through line from that first album to what's happening right now, and it's only a couple of years later.
So, like, what's happening right now wouldn't be happening in the way that it's happening if it wasn't for girl bands' debut album. I don't think many people would argue with that, but yeah, I mean, right, look, this list, I was trying not to get like too, you know, outraged about it, because I think that was its intention, was to kind of drum up debate and outrage and stuff. I don't think it's a particularly good list. I think there's excellent albums on it, there's excellent albums that didn't make it on it, and it feels to me like a better list would have come from having more input from more journalists, or just having it as one person's list and not, I mean it is the Irish Times 50 greatest Irish albums of all time, but there's only two Irish Times writers, so I'm can't really get my head around that very much. And yeah, I guess like my issue with it was the kind of like, it was more the talk around it, the like from the Irish Times, as you know, things like "Let the Debate Begin," and I think it's so easy to kind of put out a list and know that is going to drum up conversation and attention. But I just found it a bit blatant in that being its purpose, as opposed to and I've no doubt that the two journalists who put this together were absolutely meticulous about this list and obviously put a lot of time and effort into it. So it's absolutely nothing against either of them. It's more the language around lists and how blatant it is in this instance that irked me a little bit. But, you know, Loveless is obviously the greatest Irish album of all time. So, like, can we...
It's definitely has it's an easier win than
there's a case for it,
the girl band, yeah, for sure. You know, there's a reason why 909 has never done a list like this, because it's just too exhaustive and it requires too many people, really, and that's not what we're about. And but I would have expected a bit more input from various people just to really round out that list. But you know, according to the comments, some of the albums that were missing were the likes of Lisa Hannigan,
Jape,
Argument for Snow Patrol as well, maybe even the Redneck Manifesto, which isn't in the comments, but just a personal one for me. I was like, you know, if you're trying to represent the last like 50 years of Irish music,
Overhead the Albatross, you know,
I wouldn't probably put that in there. And So I Watch From Afar would be a shout ahead of OTA, probably. The Radiators from Space, Stiff Little Fingers, Rory Gallagher is not in there at all.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
that's bizarre.
Moving Hearts, Scullion, Paul Brady as Heart Station was mentioned, An Emotional Fish. Bellex One, no Bellex One at all, which is quite strange. I would have thought they would be there. Anyway, just to get a different perspective, I did ask my dad what he thought was missing from the list.
Okay, and, what did your dad say?
Well, at first he didn't look at the list properly because he was like, needs more U2 and Planxty. I was like, well, they're both there. But he also said Taste on the board. So that is, I know an album that he loves big time. That is Rory Gallagher's previous band, and one that he introduced to me for sure. Taste on the boards. There's no room for the Chieftains there. He also mentioned Horselips and the Gloaming's first album, and there's no Gloaming at all. So that's interesting. Anyway, look, it's a list of 50 albums, take it or leave it, and I think most people have probably left it now, but you know, it's still interesting to look at, I think. It is hard, you're never going to please everybody, but that's not the intention, but you're right, it's that preamble.
No, I think that's the opposite to the intention, actually. And again, not the fault of the people who put the list together at all. It is a problem with... subbing, I suppose. Yeah,
it did make me think about, you know, the idea that we're probably missing a large discourse on and archiving of Irish music from pre-internet era. You know, when you see say, for example, you know, I had to move out of the office recently, and when I was deciding whether I should keep the CDs or not, a lot of them were independent Irish releases from the last 15 years, and you're like, are these anywhere if they're not here physically? So, you know, I know there's the likes of Fanning Sessions on YouTube that posts those kind of things, and the blog as well, the Irish Music Archive and stuff like that, but there's quite a lot missing as well. There's some great books out there as well, though, which I must dig up. I used to have a great Irish rock book from years ago, from the early 90s, which is, you know, one of those things. And then buried.
If you find it, send it to me.
I don't have it anymore, but I definitely had it at my parents' house. And then the Buried Treasure book that Dan Hegarty did probably has some of these albums written about as well. So it's time for reasons to be cheerful. There hasn't been many reasons to be cheerful recently, but
I have one. It's okay.
Okay, we'll play the song first, and then you know, set the scene. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. Part three. Reasons to be cheerful. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we have reasons to be cheerful this week. So, Andrea, I'm going to ask you to go first because you have one.
Go first because you have one. My reason to be cheerful this week is that Kanye West has dropped out of the presidential race.
Oh!
After 10 days, he has dropped out. And I think that it's for the best of the country, his fans, and him. Because I've been quite worried about Kanye throughout all this, and my reason to be cheerful is hopefully he's going to go and just just not be in the public eye for a bit and take some time out and just live and be a person and make music. God's sake.
What? I didn't even see that did this just come out? Are you giving me breaking news?
I'm giving you breaking news. You broke the news to me about the pubs. I'm breaking the news to you about Kanye West. So it's give and take. But yeah, no longer going. A 10-day run in which he didn't actually even like register. So I don't know if it counts, but the world is a very strange place right now, so maybe it does count. But yeah, no, he's not doing it anymore.
I'm really glad we don't have to be talking about this. I'm more worried about the himself and how he is.
That's why I'm cheerful about it, is because I don't want to see a man like get torn to pieces, like in the run up to, you know, like just there's already a lot of op-eds and hot takes on Kanye running, and I don't need the discourse, man. I just don't need it. And he doesn't need it either. He needs to go and get better. And I think that this is probably a good step. Not running for the president of the United States is probably a good step towards getting better. So much love to Kanye, and hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, thankfully that is the end of that. Hopefully just look after yourself before you start thinking about looking after the entire country there, Kanye.
And stop going on about being anti-choice. Like, stop that.
There's
weird.
a number of things he said over the last while that would leave you cause for pause. Okay, so my reason to be cheerful this week is, of twofold, actually. But they're both kind of tied in to Patreon, because, as you know, we have a Patreon for the website and the podcast. It's patreon.com/909. From a fiver a month, you can support us directly, and 180 people, I think, are doing that, which is brilliant. And we had a lovely message in from a Patreon subscriber this week. It said, I won't name them because, you know, we didn't ask for permission, but it said his youngest started singing the lyrics to the intro to the podcast this week. So thought it was about well past time I signed up to the Patreon. So I just love the idea of by osmosis, a little kid has just picked up the theme song singing on your radio.
Hello to you, little child, if you are listening at 5 p.m. on a Friday. Hi, it's me from the speaker. I hope you're doing well. Yeah. And then I got really freaked out because it was like I had a super cut in my mind of every time I've sworn. So now I'm going to try to be quite. I'll try to be good and not say the C word all the time.
Okay. Well, that was John and John's daughter, I believe. So that's all I'd say. But thank you for
that. Hello to you guys. Thank you so much for that message. That genuinely made my week.
Very good. Yeah, lovely. I also, on Patreon, because I've been talking about, you know, sharing a few different playlists on the Patreon page recently. Today I shared, I'd like to echo the sentiment of No Encore's Craig Fitzpatrick on last week's episode of their own podcast, where he was espousing yet again the brilliance of Steely Dan. And it reminded me that I have this Steely Dan playlist that I've kept in the back pocket for quite a while, and I was the only one listening to it. So I have now shared that and wrote a little piece on Patreon for the subscribers so they can have that. So I'm going to be doing some more of that stuff. And one of the reasons, one of the artists I'm going to be doing is coming up on our first song of the week. It is Reggie Snow featuring MF Doom and Cam OB. This is Cookie Chips.
You laugh now, cry later, just empower the kids. Grown pains, muscles all under my bed. Sweats when you sweat at me, you looking real cute. You got a dimple under eyes, I bet you never knew. You love the thickest I've seen since the last time. Got us tickets for the show by the alibi. And all the things, all the days that we scorn. I could fly, I'm a dove, I'm a butterfly, yo. Yo, yo, yo. I'm a butterfly, yo.
Yeah. Twisting in the cup while the sunrise, sticky like the rain in the summer. Twilight in the blunt and I'm gone flying. Way up high with a kite stream away. Cloudy in my truck, see it dumb high. I know I'm gonna see the golden light of day.
own.
It's inadequate, this elaborate floral display. They pay for bad habits, gall, and moral decay. To say with some forgiveness and it all go away. Lay a plot to book a yacht out on the water today. Poke. Is it so compelling to rebel with all the yelling? Now it's overwhelming when you're swelling melon, bruh. Who you telling? Dumb lust overfalling and love stuff hush. Heart crushed like a bag of dust, bum rush. Black beanie, freak out at night like Houdini. Creep out the back and who could have seen a G? Easily, blue weenie. She couldn't dig it if it was too teeny. Bless her with the kundalini and plus the zucchini. Always been a plan to push her heart melt, bird. It takes a steady hand and pushes heartfelt words. I heard you heard, trapped in delirium. Thoughts of a queen to throw off your equilibrium. A few jokes, but the underlying fact gold distillery. I hope to live happy ever after though. Disaster's what I asked her for. Now we stuck like plaster, yo. I has to go.
Twisting in the cup while the sunrise.
Okay, that is Reggie Snow featuring his hero, MF Doom, who I'm going to do a playlist about soon, on a song called Cookie Chips. This is the first song we've heard, I think, from Reggie since Dear Annie from 2018, right?
I think so, yeah.
It
he's
is
been
indeed,
pretty quiet.
Yeah. This is great to hear. I'm personally, I don't even know Reggie Snow or Lex Luthor, as he used to call, or Alex, as he's known. But I am so delighted for him that he has got his hero on a track. It's a lovely thing. That
man, I'm a sucker for people working with their heroes. It makes my heart so big. Like, and it's good, right? It's really
It's real nice. It's kind of like floaty and positive, and the artwork is like balloons and just like
Artwork and the video are beautiful. Like, they're genuinely beautiful. I love this song. I really, really love it. And it's always good to hear Doom because he has, I think, probably my favorite voice in hip hop, like my favorite flow. Just I could listen to that man read the dictionary, you know.
Yeah, maybe. And he'd read the dictionary in such an interesting way, and you know, he would just twist the syllables in different ways that no one else has ever done before. So
he's an absolute poet, and it's not, this isn't one of those collaborations where it's like, oh, so and so featuring MF Doom, and he's just like hopped on for like a tiny bit of production or whatever. Like he's on this song, and he is doing the work, you know. Reggie Snow sounds amazing as well. It's a really, really chill but quite warming song. It's like a hazy sort of like low light summer vibe. And I really, really, really like it. Is it an album? Is there going to be any?
Yeah, it is from a new release forthcoming. So be good to hear him come back. Now is the time. 2018, been long enough. I mean, this year has been long enough, so why not?
I'd love to hear him work with some other Irish hip hop heads as well. I hope we get more collabs in that sort of vein. But then again, you know, happy to have anything from Reggie Snow. I'm a big fan of his.
Cool. Okay, our next track is from Elaine May. It is called Somewhere Else, and it is a song about not belonging. Okay, that was Elaine May. Song is called Somewhere Else. I think Elaine always does something nice in the vein of a quite gentle and delicate, not always gentle and delicate, but electronically spun, emotive, heartfelt music that, you know, probably takes in her roots from, you know, more traditional instrumentation, but she's been pushing and herself and her production in the last number of years, and you really see every time she releases a song, it's something quite different and moving the story on quite a lot. I like this song a lot. It does. She says it's about a feeling of not belonging and everything that comes with that. I think most of us felt that way at some point, especially growing up. For me, the song captures that sadness and uncertainty, but there's also a feeling of hope in it and a feeling that things are going to get better. And Elaine, we do need that right now.
Thank you, Elaine. We've heard quite a bit sporadically from her. Like, she's collaborated with Sorka Richardson and Soleil, and then she did that Pillow Queens remix as well. So it's nice to get something kind of more standalone and hear what she's at the moment. And it's, yeah, I think it's a really, really beautiful song. You just kind of melt into it. It's absolutely gorgeous. And it's been getting a bit of radio play as well, which is nice.
Oh, good. Yeah, that is good to hear, because obviously I saw Linda Coogan Burns tweets yesterday about only RT1 Radio 1 has actually put out a statement or said anything in response to the recent.
And like they were the only ones who achieved a gender balance. So like they've nothing to lose by doing it.
Six people privately have said something, but nobody has said anything publicly.
I have to say, I was listening to the radio. Was it yesterday I texted you or the day before?
Yeah,
I was listening to Jenny Green on 2FM, and I heard three female Irish artists in the span of 1 hour. And that was like, you know, pre 7 PM. So that was brilliant to hear. That was really, really great. And it didn't feel like it wasn't like, oh, we're playing Irish women today. It was just like they flowed in and out of the playlist completely perfectly. Like it's not hard to do, you know.
By the way, I meant to mention Exit Festival earlier on. I know this has nothing to do with this, but like I just thinking about it there, when we were talking about events. Did you see that whole thing about Exit Festival? They like cancelled again. Because they were asked not to go ahead in June, in May, by the Prime Minister, Alexander Vucic. And back on again, and then said they were going to do it. And they were welcoming international travellers. And then it seems to have emerged that the whole thing was like, basically, they were fudging the numbers. They were trying to, the Prime Minister was like trying to get... was lifting the lockdown that they did have so that people could come and vote, but things spiral out of control completely. And then the last few weeks have seen huge numbers, a spike, a more lockdown, and then a lot of anti-government protests. And considering that like Exit Festival started in the year 2000 as a protest against Slobodan Milosevic's regime, it's kind of interesting that the big story around the Exit Festival in Novi Sad was that, you know, they were like, it's fine. We're going to we're not doing socially distant things. You don't need to. We don't have anybody here. It was like, yeah, well, they've completely shut it down now. So it finally got cancelled this week. Anyway, that has nothing to do with Songs of the Week this week, but it's just worth mentioning. But you were saying there the, you know, like the Irish Women in Harmony is a good example of, you know, it's a cover of the Cranberries' Dreams, but, you know, 40 different Irish women artists who, you know, was doing really well on radio airplay, but also raised, it was announced last week, they raised €215,000 for Safe Ireland. Which is an incredible amount of money.
It's incredible. Yeah. And you know, that song is just like there was no connection between the timing of that song coming out and Linda Coogan Burns' report coming out. But could you have asked for a more perfect thing to have happened? Because like you have this report coming out, and then you have obvious like naysayers saying, oh, well, there just aren't that many women making music in Ireland, or blah, 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 or they're not making it to the same standard. And then it's like, well, bam. Here's this song. Here's like how many was like 30 odd women?
Well, like 40, over 40 individual musicians.
Over 40 individual musicians who are women. Like, and yeah, just the kind of the timing of that was really, really great. And it's, you know, it's a stunning cover, but it is crazy that individually those women can't get played on radio, which is, well, hopefully we'll see a bit of a change now, but I think people still need to keep pushing this. Like, this conversation is not over, and I think Linda Coogan Byrne has made it very clear that this conversation is not over. That it's not just one of those things where a report is released and then everybody moves on. She is fully committed to making changes in this. And I love that solidarity.
And you had a piece in the Sunday Business Post this past weekend?
I did, yes. I spoke to some DJs and musicians about the report, and what was interesting about that was the amount of actual DJs, like on air daytime radio DJs I spoke to, who just couldn't go on the record, couldn't give quotes, couldn't give anything. So I think there's something in Irish radio, man. And
I mean, like,
no,
it's slim.
No one's allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, they're all protecting themselves because they all want a job, which is,
and I cannot blame them, like, not even a little bit.
So it's presumably nobody gave their name for that then.
Oh no. Yes, people gave the name, but I had a couple of quotes in there from anonymous people who were, will say they might have gotten in trouble had their stations known that they'd spoken to me about it. So, but
yeah. Maybe the public doesn't really know this. I'm not sure if they do or not, but like that most DJs don't even pick the music they get to play on the radio. If it's daytime especially, you know, you'd really... Even in the even, sometimes you really have to fight to play what you want before 9 p.m., you know, so, yeah, or 10 p.m.
Okay, and actually, Elaine May was one of the musicians who I spoke to for the piece as well, so that was nice.
Okay, our next track in Songs of the Week is from Wyvern Lingo. It's called Don't Say It.
Now that I have a mic, they can let me join the band.
Okay, that's going in. that was Wyvern Lingo with Don't Say It, a new song from the trio from Wicklow. Soon to be four piece. if Andrea gets her way, she's muscling in. Now that she has a microphone, she's muscling in on the band.
Has that...
Four-part harmonies. You need four-part harmonies.
I mean, yeah. Has that video come out yet? Can we talk
about
that?
Yeah, it has.
So I was watching that video yesterday up there in the Guinness storehouse, is it? Or just
it's in the Roe & Co. Whiskey Distillery, which was the Guinness Power Station, former Guinness Power Station, yeah.
And God, they're just so good, aren't they? And what I love about that is I feel like it was a completely different experience watching that live. It wasn't a cappella, but it was very harmony driven. And listening to the studio version, like the studio version is so catchy and ready for radio and like really, really, really soulful. I actually think it's the most kind of towards soul that they've been in their singles, at least so far. And I absolutely love the song. I love the sound of it. And I recommend watching that. that live performance of it as well, because it does kind of transform the song a bit, you know.
Yeah, it's Chromatic who do the lovely videos are in different spaces who we put that out today. It's on 909, so you can watch that. Wyvern Lingo, as filmed by Chromatic, performing Don't Say It in the old Guinness Power Station. I'm really looking forward to hearing what they Wyvern Lingo come up with after album one. And yeah, I think you're right, you're definitely right in terms of the soul shout. I think all the three girls here have been performing a lot with different kind of bands, and the likes of Zaska, who would be old mates of theirs, and you can definitely hear some more of that soul. And maybe that's a confidence, or maybe that's a professionalism, maybe that's experience, and maybe it'd be interesting,
like,
to see
it was always
that
there
again.
But I think that this is the most kind of overt.
Yeah, it's very prominent. I like the song a lot. I think it's just got that confidence of people who, you know, have been doing this for a long time, that you know, like you say, it's ready for radio as well, and it doesn't waste time. If anybody any radio people were like, oh, it takes too long to get to the chorus, no it doesn't. So
and I think, like, the last time it came up on my Facebook memories or something, that it was a year ago we had them on the podcast, and they were telling us that they were recording the album then. So hopefully we get something this year from them.
Yeah, I think the plan, they were recording in Berlin and from the end of last year to some of this year, and then was scuppered by lockdown stuff. So I'm not sure where they're at with the album, but it is good to hear them. New music suggests there's more on the way. So that's great. Okay, I saved the longest to last. It is Sufjan has two new songs, but we're going to focus on the one that's on the album. This is called America from Sufjan Stevens.
America.
America.
America. I'm going to America.
Okay, Sufjan's new album is called The Ascension. It is out September 25th, and that is the lead single, if you can call a 10-minute song a lead single.
You can if you're Sufjan.
You can indeed, yeah.
Do what you want. You can put out an album with your father-in-law and just have no lyrics on it if you're Sufjan. Do whatever
you can do what you like.
You want. It's nice to hear his voice, though. I was a bit nervous that it was going to be... and like an electronic experimentation piece, which in some
when
ways
you saw
it is.
When you saw the length, you mean?
Yes, yeah, or that it was going to be something a little bit more out there than it is, by Sufjan standards. But this is lovely. I mean, I'm a simple woman. I see Sufjan, I click, and I'm happy. I think this is really, really lovely. This is great. It's lovely to hear him again back. Actually singing lyrics, which is
it was since deleted, but there was a Gorilla versus Bear tweet that said the new album is inspired by Ariana Grande as well. So I was like, oh, what does that mean? But it's I can't hear it here, but that's okay.
You don't even want to know what I would give to hear Sufjan Stevens cover of Dangerous Woman. That would be I think that's like the two sides of my personality, just like joined.
That's something he might actually do, you know.
Yeah,
that would be
like
the kind of thing he would do,
like when Redacted Guitar Guy did the album cover of 1989 by Taylor Swift, and that was cool at the time. until he wasn't cool anymore. Sorry for bringing him up.
I don't know if he ever was cool, but anyway, his music was.
That's what I mean.
Well,
he sucks. Sorry. He's always sucked. Okay.
You don't have to say.
Let's make that clear.
Don't say it, as Wyverlingo say.
Don't say it.
So this song, and there's another song, which is a B-side called My Rajneesh. They're both very long. Both of them, they're both brilliant. My Rajneesh is a lovely song. I'm actually really surprised it's not going to be on the album. So that makes
sense. I haven't heard that one yet.
Oh, it's lovely. It's really beautiful. Okay. And it's, again, it's 10 minutes long. So that's a B-side. But both of these songs were made at the time of Carrie and Lowell. And just didn't fit in with that album at all. They're very different, and they're much more dynamic and much more going on and busier.
Yeah.
So they don't really fit into the album. So I'm excited to hear what's going to happen with the extension on September 25th from Sufjan. So, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of albums coming out on September 25th. I can't remember what they are now.
Pillow Queens, Idols.
And Idols. There's a few coming out that day. I love days like that. That's really exciting.
Very good. Okay, well, speaking of albums, it's time for our album of the week. And we are going to be talking about the debut album from a band called Silverbacks, who are a 5-piece band based in Dublin, from Kildare and Dublin. What do? They make slacker indie pop, kind of New York City inspired art rock. We're going to play a song from their album, which is called Fad. This is called Just In The Band. That is Just In The Band from Silverbacks, from their album Fad. Silverbacks are Daniel O'Kelly, Killian O'Kelly, Emma Hanlon, Paddy Carney and Gary Wickham. This is a debut album that was produced by the girl band bassist Daniel Fox. We've heard a number of songs from the Silverbacks band over the last 4 or 5 years probably, and finally arriving at this debut album. And I will start with you, Dre, because I think there's a lot of, I can hear a lot of things that I think you would be into, the likes of Pavement, and I hear some Television influence there, maybe some Sonic Youth, the likes of The Breeders, stuff like that as well. So I would imagine these 13 tracks featuring two instrumentals are right up your street.
They certainly are, yeah. When you suggested this week, I will say now, I have been completely sleeping on this band. I reckon I've heard one of the songs from the album before, and I think I might have only heard it once before I actually went into the album. And I'm kind of glad I did, because I wasn't really sure what to expect going in, and then I was very grateful for it. that you suggested that we do it this week, because I was like, yeah, this is my kind of thing. And yeah, you know, like I've said it before, I love bands and artists that wear their influences on their sleeves, but also play with them, like have a bit of a sense of humor about it. I mean, like that Pavement track, which one is it? It's like the very, very Pavement sounding one. Oh, I don't have it written down.
The one with Korea in it.
Yeah, is that Fad 95?
I think so, yeah.
I think it is. If it isn't, I'm sorry. But I mean, like it's funny, and it's playing around with those ideas, and it's not like, I think a through line in this is that these are serious players who aren't taking themselves too seriously. And I really, that's what I kind of want from my punk/rock/slacker bands. I don't necessarily need to have the poetic stylings of W.B. Yeats, you know, given to me when I'm listening to punk music. This is, I mean, like, so there's a line in Dunkirk, which is a superb song, which is same old punk trick in the book, and you wanted to go somewhere. And this is definitely not that, like, it's definitely not the same old punk, and it doesn't necessarily easily fit into this kind of current punk revival that we're having in Ireland right now. Thinking about, you know, Fontaines, Murder Capital, those kind of bands. And you know, it is full of whimsy and these kind of punchy turns of phrases that that make actually listening to that style of music fun, and not a trodge, not like you have to, yeah, I don't know. But at the same time, it's thought provoking, and they are, you know, tackling social topics with this kind of wry edge, which I really, really enjoy. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think nearly every song on this album has a one line in it that like sets it apart. Like you mentioned, every punk trick in the book in Dunkirk, that's the opening song. Pink Tide, Make Way for the Guards. Drink It Down, it's like, that wasn't Jesus, that was just some effer in a dressing gown. for our younger listeners, in case there's any. Fad 95, Politicians in Denim, Everybody Wants One. And there's in the last song, Last Hours at the Bar, which is really nice thing to hear, just like a band finishing their album like on a boozy night out in the Workman's or something. It's like the toilet bowl echoed like the Killing Moon, but the DJ won't play, the boys are back in town, I swung my fist and the system came crashing down. Just like, you're getting the references there, but like, you know, it's just really simple but also really well done. And I think,
and do you know what I like about them as well, is that they're not these like these references to, like, a lot of times when I'm listening to this style of music, the references and the jokes are often a bit laddie and a bit like, I'm like, oh yeah, I understand that, but that's not necessarily me. Whereas in this, it isn't that at all. This isn't like the lyrics in this, it's not a very like masculine album, which is cool for this style of music, because this style of music does tend to kind of edge towards more like masculine and male perspectives. So it's and then obviously you've got Emma Hanlon here with like really beautiful biting vocals as well, and I think that her the moments where she's on the record are among the ones that I've enjoyed the most, especially when she's working with the singer's name, I can't remember which one.
Yeah, Daniel is the main singer and his brother.
Yeah, when the two of them are kind of working around each other in those vocals, I think they just fit so, so well together. But yeah, it's really nice to have that kind of perspective on modernity and sometimes comedy, sometimes politics, without it feeling like I'm one step removed from it, because I have like a woman's perspective on the world, which is how I feel about other bands from this genre, we'll say.
You haven't seen this band live obviously then yet, because I mean, I think that really shines, the wryness comes through. Daniel is very wry and funny on stage. He's like, I think I've seen them about four or five times. I should say, like, their manager is a good friend of mine, so I've actually seen this band quite a lot. So
this is a conflict of interest, and you should stop talking now.
That's my declaration there, but you know, I wouldn't be bigging them up just for the sake of it. I do think this is really, really good, and you know, it's clear that, you know, there's a lot of interest in this band at the moment. Silverbacks are getting a lot of interest from the likes of Stereo Gum. They've been written about quite extensively, getting some good radio play in the UK, stuff like that. You know, all of the things that we talked about. There's a good episode of the Point of Everything podcast, interview with Dan from the band, talking about where they came from and how they formed and how they view themselves against the, you know, the mirror of Fontaines and Girl Band as well. So it's worth listening to that. That's the Point of Everything podcast, which came out today, I believe. Yeah, and they do have a lot of those lines to stick with you, those kind of almost conversational style of singing that Daniel does is very effective. And, you know, it does like hark back to the kind of older style of like slacker indie pop kind of especially I keep thinking of New York, especially with in terms of, because that would be their influences. But there's a lot going on here. Is like, you know, here's a band with you know, they've got three guitarists as well, so there's a lot of a lot of guitarists going on, but none of them are, you know, they're not,
none
just
of them
like,
are wasted. No one's standing over there letting everyone else take up the room, you know, like there's so much kind of going on in terms of like really engaging rhythms and these interlocking melodies and these really catchy riffs. It's like proper good rock music, you know.
Yeah, it's not just like bludgeoning chords for the sake of it, because they don't know what else to do. There's a lot going on. There's quite spindly kind of rhythms going on. There's like, you know, it's spidery sometimes. It's the kind of stuff.
It's a lot of harmonics.
A lot of imagination going on as well. And, you know, three vocalists, really good drummer as well, Gary Wickham. And I think this is a really, really solid debut album. I think Justin the band is probably their best song, but it doesn't stand out that far away from the rest of it when it's all, there's not really a song on this that I would take off. It all seems to fit quite well together. There's maybe one, like Grinning at the Lid is probably the only song on this that I would not really, I don't dislike it either, but you know, if you're looking for something to pick apart in here, I think it's very strong from the off. Dunkirk, Pink Tide, Drink It Down, Fad 95, Dud, they're quite, and then Club Silver Rockin', that's like half the album, very, very strong. Just in the Band is 8th, and a few of these songs like Up the Nurses, which Emma sings on, I really like that song a lot.
Me too.
I think that's great.
I like Madryshka as well, the kind of instrumentally guitar one.
I like that a lot.
I like how it leads into Last Orders. I think it flows really well. It has a central voice, even though there are all of these kind of these moments of flitting in and out of other genres and other styles. But there is, and I mean, it's a central voice while having three vocalists as well. Like it's not an easy task to kind of sound this much like yourself while doing impressions of other people. I definitely want to hear what a Dublin five piece in 2020 doing Pavement sounds like, you know. That's absolutely, why not. I think it's great. I think it's really, really, it's among my favorite Irish albums that have been released this year, certainly. Yeah
Very strong debut from Silverbacks for sure. That album is the album's out on Friday, that's this week, so 17th of July. They're selling copies of their album on vinyl actually on Bandcamp. So in light of all the recent talk about how bands can't do gigs and stuff like that, if you do like what you hear, I would urge you to go and buy the things you like on Bandcamp. So that's a good way to do it. Really good first outing. They had an EP a couple of years ago, but I think this is a really good encapsulation of what the band are about.
The other thing is, I cannot wait to hear these songs live. This is like one of the albums that I've listened to during lockdown now, and I'm like, oh, I really want to be in a really sweaty like venue and just having like beer spilled all over me and people pushing into me, and I want it. So yeah, maybe next year.
Well, hopefully they can provide that next year. I don't think it's going to be this year, basically. But yeah, let's play another track from Fad from Silverbacks. This is Up the Nurses.
Up the Nurses.
I could be the one to call you.
Okay, that was our album of the week. It is from Silverbacks. It is called Fad. Dre, what else are you up to at the moment? What's been consuming you at the moment? What's happened?
I have been listening to Japandroids, Pavement, and The Weaker Thans this week. So this Silverbacks album very much fit into the vibe I was already on already. Revisiting older guitar music that I like. I haven't been reading much actually. I have like book review stuff. But I finished Succession.
Yeah.
Which is great.
but is there a hole in your life now?
Oh, man. I am bereft. The ending was stunning. I won't give anything away because I think like a lot of people haven't seen it.
There's quite a lot of people that haven't seen it.
When everybody was watching it, I felt like the only person in the world who wasn't watching it. But now that I've seen it and I'm telling other, and like asking people, like, have you seen Succession? They're like, no, actually, never got around to it. And I'm like, I was like you. That was me 3 weeks ago. But yeah, fantastic. Look, if you're out there and you haven't watched Succession and you think it's not for you, it is for you because it's great. And go and watch it. So Succession, yeah. Have I told you about my High School Musical thing? Have I talked about that on the podcast? So myself and my housemate have been kind of, we've been talking about the like films mostly and musicals actually mostly that we liked a lot when we were younger, but we were a little bit like embarrassed by it or whatever. And I had never seen High School Musical because I don't have younger siblings. And granted that I don't have younger siblings, I was a little bit too old for High School Musical. So people my age who watch High School Musical tend to have younger sisters who they watched it with, and they're like, oh yeah, I like this too. So I'd never seen it. So I'd say about a month ago, we watched the first one because I was like, I just need to see this. I need to see these like Zac Efron beginnings. And then the following week, the second one, and then the third one. And oh my God, are those films fun? Like, they're so much fun. They're absolutely gas. But right, have you seen them?
No, I have not. Oh, have I? No, I haven't.
You don't, I mean, right, I would genuinely recommend watching them. Don't watch them on your own. Like, have a few drinks at your mates and watch them.
Oh, listen.
Because, like, to be fair, I'm giving I have
musical fans in my life, so
yeah. Like, I'm saying all this now that it's really fun and it's great. I was plastered watching these films. Like, this was not me sitting down with a critic's hat on. Like, I was, there'd been wine taken. But if you're not going to watch them, which I think you should do watch from High School Musical 2, the video for Bet On It, which Zac Efron sings and performs. And it's the one that there was a meme of it, and he's on a golf course and he's kind of doing this. Do you know that right one?
Yeah, okay.
Just
yeah.
The whole song is like, it's going in so hard and it's taking itself so seriously, and it's just the most charming thing in the entire world. It's an absolute joy, an absolute pleasure. So yeah, I've been watching High School Musical. and then we also watched Grease. And Grease was great.
You're going all in on the good times.
Yeah, we're doing lots of... Friday night is kind of musical night now, which is nice. But I think we're going to replace Succession now with Breaking Bad, because my housemate's never seen Breaking Bad. So, and I haven't... I've only watched it through once, and I want to see, does it still have the same effect, which I reckon it will.
Now tell me, would you go near Hamilton?
I watched Hamilton. Yeah, I watched it.
Oh, I've not seen it.
It's absolutely brilliant. Like, it's brilliant. It's so good. Because I'd listened to a few of the songs on Spotify, and I'm like, yeah, this is a good tune. This is like a good rap musical tune or whatever. Because I do quite like Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think he's like very talented guy, and I find him
very annoying, but anyway.
I don't know. He just seems really like harmless and nice. I watched it actually the night that it came out, and I was like, okay, I'm pretty much going in blind here, because when you listen to the Spotify like album of it, it's quite hard to follow the storyline or who's talking when. But it's like, it's completely, the praise is deserved. Like, it's unbelievable. It's absolutely stunning. And everybody in it is amazing. And it's shot like, you know, it's a musical. It's not, there's not like loads of, there's the odd like close up or whatever, but it's not stylized or done cinematically or anything. So it does very much give you the impression that you're in the audience, but you happen to be in the best seat in the audience kind of thing. But yeah, like if there's any cynics about it out there, I would say like I was a bit cynical going in, being like, nothing could possibly live up to this hype. But I do genuinely think it's amazing. Yeah.
Okay. I am planning to watch it at some point.
Yeah. Sure. I reckon you'll like it. If you're even a little bit open to musicals, then you'll be all right. Like, musicals sometimes make me a little heebie-jeebies. Like, I can't put my finger on it. I like some musicals. Other musicals I cannot watch. But this is one of the ones that I can watch.
So. Is it? Yeah, I think a lot of my this might not work. So a lot of my problems with musicals is that it's just nonstop singing.
Well, this is rapping, so it's kind of like.
So therefore, I can understand that a bit better.
I did watch
Cats. I think we did talk about this, but I did watch Cats. It's absolutely awful.
Yeah, yeah, it's not. I mean, like Hamilton, better than Cats. I'll say that for sure. You can put that on your poster, Lynn.
I have been watching the first two episodes of I May Destroy You so far. That's all I've watched. But this is
that with the girl from Chewing Gum?
Michaela, what's her name? I don't know her second name.
English actress. I think she was in Chewing Gum years
she
ago.
She wrote and directed the entire show. I've only watched the first two, but it seems really good so far.
Where are you watching that? Where can you see that?
Good question. Somebody sent me a link. I think it's on BBC. Right. It's on the BBC player.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, as I mentioned, I've been listening to Steely Dan. I'm still going through a lot of albums that I've reminded of or discovered from recent weeks in terms of our albums of the year so far. So I'm still going through a lot of those big lists. I have a big long list I've been getting through, but I'm enjoying that as well. West Side Gun, that was one album I've been listening to the last couple of weeks. Enjoyed that a lot. And then the music of Sade, just generally, and how cool she is, because like, she's an absolute boss and she always has been. And I was watching a couple of live videos and I was like, there's somebody who is just effortlessly cool. And I finished The Last of Us 2, the game. That was fun. Nice bit of a...
Fun?
Yeah. Other than the dog part. But up until last year, it had been so long since I had played a video game that I was just like, I'm still enjoying the novelty of it, you know, now that they've taken on the characteristics and of cinema and, you know, narratives and stories and framing and all those kind of things. And I just think that I'm still enjoying it. So just those kind of things I'm still enjoying immensely.
That's the opposite to what I like in games. I don't like cinematic narrative stuff, like heavily narrative stuff. I like, you have a task. Go get the thing from the thing, bring it to the thing. Here's your present. Now it's time for level 2. And then you just keep doing that until you get the big present at the end and then you're done. And that's like, so Legend of Zelda games that aren't Breath of the Wild are basically my...
Fair. I've been slowing down on The Sopranos as well, but sure, we're still working our way through that. So that is another one. All right. Anything else to add?
No, not a thing. Thank you to everybody for listening. We're coming up to 100 episodes. If you have any ideas on what we should do to celebrate, let us know, because we can't think of any.
Well, I honestly haven't thought about it yet, but yeah. Should we do a clip show? Is that what should we do? A clip show?
Oh, God.
No, can't maybe. Do that. No, we will not do that.
We'll
figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Get in touch if you have thoughts. Thank you for the people who've been sending us messages and people who've recently joined the Patreon and people who've started listening to the podcast. Hello and thanks for being here. We like you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next week. We're going to finish with a song. This is an artist I sent to you not too long ago called Patricia Lawler. She's only 14 years of age, remember? She was doing covers of Julia Jacqueline and stuff. She had this really lovely song out this week called Alone, and I'm just really impressed by this level of competence and confidence for such a youngster. Her name is Patricia Lawler. Song is called Alone, and that's our track for to close out this week. Andrea, I will talk to you next week, and everyone else, we will talk to you all in the following week.
The seventh time I've mentioned the ties you hold. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.